Episode 1902, My Strength is My Story with Shannon Perry, Grace and Guts.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching people. Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us someone who is going to encourage and inspire you today. Shannon Perry is in the house. Are you ready to grab on to your grace and guts? Let's dive in. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Shannon's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. You know, I look at all that's going on, and I was able to speak to Shannon, I think it's been about 5 to 6 weeks ago, and I can't believe how fast time has flown. But her message today is going to warm your heart. You're going to be inspired, empowered, encouraged, and you are going to feel loved. If you at all question what's going on in your season of life, you want to tune in, not just with your head, but with your heart. What she has to say is powerful. The story she shares is real, raw, and authentic. Be ready to have your heartstrings played. Without further ado, let's welcome in Shannon Perry, Grace and Guts. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. You know what? I'm excited because we've got a talker in the house, and you will understand why, because you know me, I don't ever not have a word to say. I want to welcome in Shannon Perry. She's a wife of 16 years to David, mom to her son Sean, who serves in the United States Air Force as a pilot, her daughter-in-law Michelle, and grandmother to their two adorable grandsons, James and Julian. She hosts a weekly TV show, Grace in High Heels, which airs on 5 television networks in over 100 million homes. Shannon is a recording artist and songwriter since the age of 18. She enjoys speaking at churches, retreats, and educational events across America. She's created 3 original women's conferences and hosts a syndicated radio show called Does the Shoe Fit? Shannon holds her master's degree in education and counseling and is a certified instructor in parenting classes and crisis counseling. She is considered one of the foremost experts on bullying. When she's not speaking, Shannon is putting pen to paper as the author of 4 books with her latest, Grace and Guts, Strategies for Living a Knockout Life. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you, Shannon?
Thank you, Christiane. It's so great to be with you today. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, well, I'm excited. And I had to joke a little bit about, you know, someone who doesn't have a lot of words to say, because you always are talking, and I get the question all the time, being a daily podcaster, do you ever run out of words and things to say?
You know what I always tell them? What they used to put me in the corner for, now they're paying me for it. So it's a blessing to be able to talk so much, girl. Go, you talk away.
I love it. Well, it is kind of funny, but when you look at all that you've done, I just went through just a little portion. Wow. Which is amazing, the outreach that you have. But I have to ask you before we dive into Grace and Guts, what brings you joy?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what brings me the most joy is seeing people come to Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. That just lights my fire. I had somebody tell me the other day, you're like a fire starter. That's what I'm going to start calling you, because, you know, we know what energizes us. And when I'm standing on that stage, it's I love to laugh with the people. We always laugh at my conferences and I love to teach. But when I get super excited is when I see people coming to know Jesus. That just fires me up, because that's something that I've wanted to do since I was a little girl. You know, when I got saved, I was 6 years old when I walked the aisle and gave my life to Jesus. And there was a group of people singing there. And the girl took me on her tour bus that night at 6 years age, and she said, this is where I live. And I thought, this is so cool. I want to do this someday. So it was in my heart from the very night that I got saved that I wanted other people to have that same experience, that same excitement about him that I had. So I haven't lost that. And so that brings me the most joy.
Oh, I love that. I mean, talk about a fire starter at such a young age. What was it like since you found Christ at a young age? How did he become intertwined in your everyday?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. You know, I had the privilege of going to a private school. And I say that because my parents we were not wealthy by any means. They worked very hard to be able to send me to school that way. But I had the opportunity to learn the Bible every morning. We had to do a Bible structured, you know, study, and we had to learn Bible verses. And so I feel like that really grounded me at an early age. And when I say I was blessed to have the people in my life that I was, I mean, I was in one of my teacher's weddings. We were just a super close-knit family. And so that's really how he began to be intertwined, because it was my foundation. And I grew up a little naive, to be honest with you, because I thought everybody else would feel that same way. And so as I went into public high school, I went from private school to public school when I was in ninth grade. And I quickly realized not everybody wanted to have that same foundation that I had. And so that became where I really learned to intertwine with Jesus, because I wanted people to see the joy. I didn't want to preach to them, but I wanted him to see the difference that he made in my life. And I was very grounded in church, and my parents made sure that I went. And so that's why I have such a passion for reaching our teenagers these days, Christine, because I know the foundation that they need to have. And, you know, sometimes we just get so busy, we aren't able to lay that, or, you know, I can't afford to send my child to private school. How do I structure that foundation for them? And it's just keeping them involved in God's word, because that's where I learned. That's just a part of my life. That became something that I just knew every day that I would study. And so that's become part of the ministry. And, you know, I'd love to tell you every morning I get up and I spend 2 hours in my Bible. I don't, you know, I have a life too, and sometimes I miss it. But that is where I really learned to intertwine things, because that's where the power is. That's where the truth is.
Well, there's a lot of women and men, because we have both who listen here on the podcast, who that's one thing they actually struggle with, is figuring out, well, how do I fit God in my everyday? Share with us a little bit about what your everyday looks like, because you are out there. You're a businesswoman. You're a woman in ministry. You are a wife, a mom, a grandmother. I mean, you have your plate full, let alone every other project that's going on. You're involved in conferences right now. How do you say, okay, God, I want you here now? Where does he show up?
Well, I think the first most important thing, and it sounds cliche, but it really is not. I think you have to start your day with him. I think you have to, if you just have 10 minutes to sit down and say, you know what, Lord, I need you to guide my day today. I need you to order my day. I always ask him to be my booking agent, to be honest with you, because we have to call a lot of, you know, God's a great booking agent. And I always want to make sure we're going to the right places and the places he wants us to go with the conferences. And so I think just starting your day with him and just spending some time in his word, because that's where he speaks, and saying, you order my day, because he has a way of restructuring our day. And I think one of the hardest things for me that I've had to learn is sometimes his day and my day don't always look the same. And so when he interrupts me, that's kind of annoying to me at times, because I'm like, no, this wasn't on my day timer. I have to get to number 6, right? And he's like, whoa, I want you to talk to this person in the grocery store line. And it's so easy for us to, you know, get on our phone and click, and get on social media and run out the door. And I think the greatest thing that I have learned anyway is when I get so spun up and so anxious, if you will, that I've got to get all this stuff done, God says, you're losing your focus. Your focus has to be on eternity, really. And does what you're doing really impact eternity? And if it doesn't, it's probably not that important. And when I can keep that perspective, it really helps me, because souls are really what lasts for eternity, Christine. I mean, nothing else really lasts. All this stuff, I mean, personally, I think there's going to be really cute shoes in heaven. Don't get me wrong. But all this stuff is going to be gone someday. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And so I've learned, if we can keep our focus on souls and really minister to people and love people and lead them to Jesus, that's what is important. But you're right. There's a lot that goes into that. And so I think starting my day off with him and then just understanding my day may get interrupted and being okay with that. If it's him doing it, then I have to be okay with that.
Oh, I love your authenticity, Shannon. It just, it's refreshing because a lot of us just sugarcoat, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to be the perfect proper mom or the perfect proper dad, and I'm going to do everything right. And we know that that just isn't the case. We hit a lot of knockouts every single day. In fact, life has a way of knocking you out. You recently faced some struggles and challenges within your family. And it wasn't just, oh, how do I pay the bill or where do I, you know, go with this conference? It took a lot. It took grace and guts.
Absolutely. Christy, and all in 1 year, my mom had been diagnosed with cancer. She had been fighting for 2 years. And all in 1 year, she was starting to lose her battle with cancer, even though we didn't know it. She was starting to not feel well. More and more. And that same year, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And I'm an only child. And so I had the responsibility of making sure that they were at doctor's appointments and at hospitals and being in hospitals with them. But at the same time, trying to keep this ministry going, trying to run a business, as you said. There's still bills to pay. There's still phone calls that have to be returned. Well, in that same year, as I was working with them and taking care of them, there's this little storm that came through Houston. You might remember it, called Hurricane Harvey. And it literally destroyed our town in so many areas. We were very blessed. Let me say that up front, that it did not destroy our home. It did destroy a lot of things on our property. We have a barn and we have a tack room, and we took a lot of that out. My storage room where I had my books, there were a lot of books that were destroyed because we just didn't have the time. It happened so fast. We didn't have the time to get everything up that we needed to get up. We saved a lot of it, but we lost some. But the thing is, we didn't lose any life. In that same year, they thought that I might have cancer for the first time ever. I had surgery on my eye. They found a spot in my eye, and they said they thought it could be cancerous. And I've never even had surgery. At my age, I'd never had surgery. And so it looked like, it looked like I was giving birth in the waiting room, because there were like 15 people in the waiting room knowing this was my first surgery, because I was so, you know, unsure of what to expect. So everybody was there to kind of tell me it was going to be okay. And so, and it was. And in that same year, I had a very freak horse accident, and my horse got her hoof stuck in a blanket, and I ran out to go take her out of the blanket. And when I did, she fell over on me, and my finger was trapped between her and the strap of the blanket. And when she jumped up, she took part of my finger with her. And so I was a good cowgirl, and I ran to, holding my finger on, ran to the tack room and got the scissors and managed to cut her out of that strap before I started screaming for David to take me to the emergency room. And, in that same year, my son was deployed. And so there was so many things going on, but here's what I want to finish up on that. I will tell you, God is so faithful, even when we're in that ring of life, like I call that boxing ring, because I felt like I just kept getting hit over and over and over and over. And I know a lot of your viewers can understand that, because we all have those seasons in life where it's like, okay, I'm finally through this thing, and now this thing's coming. And that's how I felt. But I just want to share the faithfulness of God, because even though it was hard, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat that and say that was easy. I will tell you about a time where I was very upset with God and prayed to him and cried out to him. But I want to share what he did. But I will tell you that my finger is fine. I lost a little bit of it because of my little Dolly Parton fingernail. You can't even tell that I've lost it. We replaced my books. My dad is cancer free and doing great. And our home was not, like I said, was not affected. My son returned safely and is now deployed again. And my mom got to go to see Jesus. And that's the best place that she could be. And so even through all of that stuff, I'm able to look back and see the faithfulness of God. And it's so hard to see that so many times when we're in the middle of our mess and you feel like the enemy just gets you and just pounds and pounds and pounds. And now that I've been through that, I know that I know that I know the faithfulness of God. I can look at any situation I'm going through right now. I just had a week like that. My dad just had a heart surgery again. And then in that same night, the aunt that I'm in charge of taking care of, she went to the emergency room. And I had to remember, you know what? God is faithful, because he showed you that he was. And the night that I was in my room, you know, I would love to sit here and say, I just prayed and everything was okay. And I just had faith and never got upset with God and never questioned God. And I can't tell you that. And I'm in full-time ministry. But what I can tell you is that when we do that, when we go through those things, a lot of times we're tempted to run away from him and say, you know what, or we get angry and we say, well, I'm not going to serve this God. You know, how could God do that to people? Well, God didn't do it to us. First of all, there's evil in the world. We have an enemy called Satan. And he likes to meet us in the ring of life and pound us and pound us and pound us until we doubt God. And so I was upstairs laying down one night and I was just doing that, just cry. That's what I call that snot in the carpet cry, where you're just, oh God. And the only word I could say was Jesus. And I just kept crying out the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I've heard of this happening to people, but honestly, I thought that they might need to be wrapped up in a white coat. And so when I started praying Jesus, 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 all of a sudden, I went from this absolute crazy crying, I started laughing. And it was just like this peace that came over me. And I remember telling myself, Shannon, you have to stop this. This is nuts. They're going to call you away. They're going to call the white, you know, this is crazy. Well, I will tell you that such a peace came over me. I've never experienced it before or since then. I didn't see him. I didn't smell him. I didn't touch him. But I knew Jesus was in that room. And he came to meet me in that room. And I will tell you what I heard, not out loud, but in my spirit. I thought, I've never felt this kind of peace before in my life. It was like literally I was just transported to another place for a minute. And he said to me, I let you have this experience so that you could have just a glimpse of what your mom is fixing to experience. See, my mom was still alive, and I didn't know my mom was going to pass away. He prepared my heart. The God of the universe took a minute to step down in my world and say, Shannon, I see you. I hear you. I care about what you're walking through, and I've got you. And that's the message that I hope your viewers will hear today. Whatever you're walking through, he sees us. He sees you. He hears you. He knows what you're going through. Keep crying out to him because he's got you.
Amen. Oh my goodness. That just gave me chills all the way down from my head to my little toes. We're just so wrapped up in our own stuff that we do forget how faithful God really is. And we tend to run away. We have too many hats to juggle. What do you find for women that is most challenging for them as they're going about through their day? And even, you know, their connection and relationship with God.
Well, that leads into talking about the new book, Grace and Guts, and the new conference that I've written with the book. When I got ready to write the book, God led me to write, obviously, to write about my disappointments. I never want to waste my stuff. If I've got to go through stuff, I definitely want him to use it, especially after that year. And so I began writing the book because I thought, you know, other people are in boxing rings of life, too. They're feeling like they're getting hit over and over and over. So I asked 5,000 women, I said, what do you feel like are the toughest things that you face in life? And after they answered, I took those top 12 things and I wrote the book, Grace and Guts. And it's a thin book. It's not super thick. Since I have a counseling degree, in addition to, yes, and you have beautiful tabs like I do. Yes, you win the prize. I told you earlier, you win the prize for the pop-up book. I thought, you know, these women need to hear what, not just my stories, not just what I've experienced, but we need practical steps in how to get through this step. And so as a result of that, you know, they began to list things, and I'll just read them off because I don't have them all memorized, but they listed things like exhaustion, betrayal, insecurity, faithlessness and fear, people pleasing. I've taught on that a lot lately. Addiction, overpowering addiction and loving those who you live with who are addicts. Loneliness, anger, difficult people. How do we handle difficult people in our life? We all have them. Beating uncertainty. And the number one, Christine, the number one topic was finding our purpose. You know, we all want to know why we're here. And so I've taught that one almost everywhere I have been lately. And I think that a lot of times it's not, like you said, it's not just women, it's men too. If we don't know the purpose for this season of our life, then we can waste a lot of time. And that's, I think, where the frustration comes from. I think that's where we get bogged down because we just kind of get on this wheel and we just start doing, you know, what we think everybody else either wants us to do or what we're is expected of us. And how many times do we really stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to be doing right now in this season of my life? And I always remind the women at my conferences, what I was doing 15 years ago, I'm not doing anymore. I was a school teacher and a school counselor, and just singing professionally on the weekends. And as I would go out and I would sing and I would speak, people would always say, well, do you, or sing, they would say, do you ever speak? And I said, no, I'm not a speaker. I'm a singer. And then as I began to sing and speak, people said, people in Nashville found out that I was speaking and said, have you ever thought about doing radio? And I said, no, I'm not a radio show host. I'm a singer and I'm a speaker. Now, as you said, I have the radio show. And then they said, what about, you know, writing? And I said, oh, no, I'm not a writer. I'm a singer, speaker, radio show host. And now I write for crosswalk.com and Focus on the Family and those, you know, those little people that have been around a while. And they took it and they liked it. And what amazing organizations are they? And then they said, what about, you know, writing books? And I said, oh, no, I'm not an author. I'm a singer, speaker, writer, radio show host. And now, as you said, this is my fourth book. And I just want to say, for Grace and Guts, it did win an Amazon number one in two categories a couple of weeks ago. So throw that in there because I'll tell you why that's important in a minute. And then they said, what about doing TV? And I said, oh, no, I draw the line there. You know, you got to have perfect hair. You got to have perfect clothes, perfect makeup. I said, oh, no. I'm a singer, speaker, writer, radio show host, author. Well, and now I have the TV show, obviously, Grace in High Heels, that goes into over 100 million homes every week. I said, the next thing I'm going to say is I'm not a millionaire and see what happens, right?
Because sign me up.
I'll be the first to call you. And so it's just one of those things. I tell that story because so many times we don't see ourselves the way either other people do, number one, but number two, the way God does. God planted, he put everything that we need inside of us, everything that something needs, he put inside of that. He put seeds inside of trees to become trees, you know, inside of the acorn that we see, and it becomes an oak tree. Anything that something needs, he knew how to put that inside of us. And so many times, I think over the years or the course of life, we've either been told, you know, oh, you can't do that, or who do you think you are, and we get so beat down that we just get on a wheel. And then we're frustrated, and then we don't have the zest for life that God wanted us to have because we miss his purpose because we're doubting those seeds inside of us. I tell people all the time, I love to line my animals up on my bed when I was little and play school with them. I used to bap them over the head with a ruler. I didn't do that to my real kids. But, you know, those were seeds that began for me to be a teaching this conference now. And so I think that's where we get a lot of these emotions that we're dealing with in Grace and Guts, because we get just bogged down in life. And it's not that we're always not following our purpose. It's that we live in a sin-filled world and people around us do crazy things sometimes. And we have to know, how do I respond to this? And so that's why I wrote about people pleasing and dealing with difficult people, because from a counselor perspective, we need to know how to lay boundaries in some of our life too. Jesus was all about having boundaries. Jesus did say no to people. Jesus did shake the dust off of his feet and go to the next town if he wasn't heard. And so Jesus laid boundaries, and I think he wants us to do that too. So in Grace and Guts, not only did I write scripture that we can hold on to, which is the foundation, that's the knockout punch we have to give our enemy, but I wrote practical steps. So Grace and Guts is really meant to just be a tool that you can just pick up and go, you know, today I'm feeling exhausted and there's six pages on that. What do I need to do today? And so it's a handbook in those 12 areas.
Oh, I love that. And you all are going to want to bring in her strategies into your home and pick up your own copy of Grace and Guts, Strategies for Living a Knockout Life. Well, let's go over just a few of them and dive in. There's a lot of judgment and comparison out there. We know it, we see it, and social media, I think, has deepened that awareness, whether it's good or bad. I think there's some days it's okay and other days not so much. How do you think we can begin to champion our self-esteem and self-worth?
Oh, wow, great question. You know, I just spoke on this past weekend, and one of the things that I said, social media is great when my dad was in the hospital and I got online and I said, hey, I need people to storm the gates with me right now. And they did. And then within 2 hours, the whole situation had changed. It's great for that. I love social media for that reason. Unfortunately, just what you said, our kids call it fake book instead of Facebook. And so people get on there and it's all fake. And, you know, it's easy to be standing in your closet going, yeah, we're having a party. And it looks like great. And you're like, I want her life. And I'm just standing in my closet. So we can all make things look like it look different than they are. I think the most important thing we have to do, Christine, to champion our self-worth is to remember where our self-worth comes from. And too many times we let other people speak over us and speak things into our life that have absolutely nothing to do with what God says about us. And I always remind the women in my conferences, if what is being said to you or about you cannot be backed up in God's word, I don't care who it was. I don't care if it was your boss or your husband or your wife or your kids or whoever it was. They may be really, really important to you. But if what they're saying can't be backed up in God's word, then it's not true. And too many times we take on the junk and stuff of other people and we begin to buy into their stuff instead of saying, you know what, I need to go back to God's word. And you notice I hone in on God's word in this book because it's all we have. It's the only truth we have to stand on because everything else around us is sinking sand. And so I think the most important thing we can do for our self-esteem, our self-worth is to just to begin to find some scripture that says, you know, I am the head and not the tail. You have plans to prosper me and not to harm me, to bring me a future and to bring me a hope. So that when people in our lives begin to tell us, oh, you're never going to do that. You could never accomplish that. And you're a terrible mom. You know, you're a terrible grandma, whatever it is that you can say, you know what? The Bible says that love conquers all. And you know what? I love my kids and I'm doing the best I can. And so I'm not going to buy into those lies. And I don't think it's most of the time, though, I'll say this for women. I don't think most of the time it's an outside source that's telling us lies. I think it's in our own mind. And so I think that other people will tell us more of the truth a lot of times than we tell ourselves. And so I think what we've really got to do, and I did this, I'm writing a new, this is top secret, I'm fixing to tell you, I'm writing a new Bible study for Grace and Guts. Yes, whoa. Yes, I'm finishing it right now. It's going to the editor. And one of the things in that book study that I tell them is we've got to get the truth of God's word down in our heart. And the reason that I say that is because when lies, this is the battleground. This is the ring where everything happens. That's the fight. And so when the enemy comes in and he says, oh, you're never going to make it. I love, especially like if women come into a conference, let's say this, and, you know, all these women are over here in their little group and they're talking, but you don't really know anybody and they don't really include you or talk to you. Those things that I would like to run out of the door right now is probably what some of us think because I don't fit. I don't belong. Instead of having that confidence to say, you know what? I do fit. God called me here to be. I'm going to go talk to those people. I'm going to go and make the first move. And I know typically I would not have done that even 15 years ago. I would have waited for someone to come to me and said, because I was out, people don't believe this, but I'm a little shy in that area. And so no one believes that. But it's true. It's true. And I tell a story about the time that I got up on stage for the very first time to speak. There were 1,000 women in my conference. And I was only going to speak for an hour, but it was the first time I'd ever spoken on this topic. I was scared to death. And I walked in and, you know, all 999 of them are smiling, but there's always that one on the front row that does this and looks me up and down. And I thought, oh my gosh, she hates me. I just want to run screaming off that stage. Right. Well, I pressed on, I made it through. I did my thing, but guess who was the very first one at the table to buy one of everything off my table? Miss thing. And if I had not stayed on stage and done what I did, not only would those other people have missed the message, she would have missed the message. And obviously she needed it or wanted it. But that insecurity and seeing what she did automatically said to me, she hates me. I must be terrible. She doesn't like me. And I think as women, we often judge ourselves based on how other people look at us or what they say to us. And we have to remember, no, you know what? And if they don't think we're okay, that's okay too, because I've got to be firm and secure in who God says I am. So in that new book study where I was going with that, is we have a scripture every week that we have to memorize, because we don't do that very much anymore, do we? We know it, like for me, I know the verse, but I don't know the address a lot of times. I forget. And I'm started making myself remember the address and where things are located in the Bible. So it's good for us to have that. Just 12 solid scriptures that we can say, oh, no. I may feel that way, but we're very feeling oriented and our feelings can lie to us. So we have to remember, no, I may feel that way, but what is the truth? And we can go back to that scripture that we've memorized and tuck that into our heart instead of those feelings that lie to us.
Oh, so good. So good. Well, I'm excited about your new Bible study. How fascinating.
Thank you. Me too. Ooh. Yes, me too.
That is awesome.
It's the first one I've ever written. So I'm super excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, I can't wait to be one of the first ones to maybe get my hands on it.
Thank you. I can't wait for you to get your hands on it. And the way it was written, I had 20 women come to my home for 6 weeks during the summer last summer so that they could actually take it. And that's all I did was write during the summer. And I would write the chapters. We did two at a time because there's 12 in the actual study. There's one chapter per week and they can divide it up however they want to. If they want to do the first six chapters, then the next six chapters, but we did two a week. And so they took the study and they would give me feedback and they would tell me things that they learned. And it was so helpful when I was writing it. So it's already had kind of a pretest, if you will. And I wrote it, but I just think it's wonderful because it's so encouraging to be with other women and learn with them. And as you said, the highest compliment you can give me is you're just real. I try so hard to be that same person on the stage as I am off the stage. I don't always succeed, but I really do try. And it was just so comforting to see these women being so real with each other. And a lot of them, I didn't like to pray out loud. That was an insecurity for them. And by the end of the study, people were grabbing each other's hands and praying out loud because I encouraged them to do that. And you know, it was just, it's just an amazing time. So I can't wait to share it with you.
Oh, well, God is going to bless it. I know He already is. He's already paving that path for you. Oh, I can't wait. We'll have to share it here again. You'll come back. I know.
I would love that.
Well, like you said, you talk about 12 different areas. The world is so technologically connected, yet we are so disconnected, and we find ourselves lonely, mm-hmm. which to me, you know, when you think about it, it doesn't add up. Like, why can you be lonely when I can talk to somebody across not only the United States of America, but across the globe? You know, we've got people around the globe listening here and watching the podcast. What are some ways that we can overcome loneliness?
Excellent question. I just taught this past weekend at a conference, and a lady came up to me and she said, Shannon, thank you so much for talking about loneliness and social media. She said, I felt like something was wrong with me until you said that. And I said, I think we all feel that because we do compare, like you said. One of the things about loneliness, Christine, is that when we are already so hurt inside, we tend to isolate ourselves. We tend to separate ourselves from other people when we're hurting. If we get our feelings hurt somewhere, if we're going through a tough time in our life, we tend to go into self-protect mode. And that's understandable to a point. And there's even a season for grieving. As I say, if you are going through a difficult time, if you're going through a loss, there is a healthy season for grieving. I'll be the first to tell you that as a counselor. But at some point, you've got to come out of that season of grieving and into, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you heal those holes in my soul, those places that hurt, so that I can turn around and use my story to help heal others. Because really the reason we walk through this stuff is for one reason. It's so that we can turn around and tell somebody else, hey, I get what you're going through. I understand that you're going through a painful time. Let me tell you what how God helped me through that time. It may be that you experienced a loss. I may have experienced a loss in a different area, but they're the same kind of feelings, and I can understand and I can encourage you. There's nothing like having somebody come alongside us who can say, can I walk this road with you? Because I had somebody walking it with me, and I want to teach you what they taught me. I want to share with you what God did for me, and He'll do the same thing for you because that's what He's about. He's in the healing business. So I always remind women, once you get through that little season of where you feel like you need to self-protect, it's important to allow God to heal those holes so that you can turn around and be a healing agent to other people. And that's really what we're called to be as disciples. We're called to be healing agents. It's different. You know, none of us like to be preached at. We all know what's wrong with us. We all know where we're broken. Nobody has to tell us. But there's something about somebody coming along with that human touch and saying, you know, as I tell the women, some of you in this room, if I said the word divorce, some of you couldn't say, I get that. But some of you could say, I get that. If I said the word bankruptcy, some of you couldn't say, I get that. But some of you would say, I get that. And my assistant was sitting somewhere next to a lady this past weekend. And she said, that lady said, every one of them I said, she said, I get that. I understand that. So you talk about a healing agent that she is going to be. But when we're going through a tough time, a time of hurting, the last thing we think is, oh, good, I get to hurt so I can help heal someone else. I remember a woman used to tell me all the time when I was walking through that difficult time. She said, oh, Shannon, just think about how God is going to use you to help heal all these women. And honestly, Christine, I would love to tell you, yes, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. I did not say that. What I really said is, that's great. I tell you what, Lord, you heal me and you find somebody else to help them, because we don't want to hurt for everybody else. But the point is that we're going to hurt in this life because we live in a sin fallen world. Why don't we let God take it and use it, get us out of our loneliness so that we can help heal others so that they don't stay in their loneliness. And then we become a group of healing agents for everybody else. The one way to get out of our loneliness the fastest is to serve others. And the last thing we feel like doing when we're lonely is to serve others. But if we will memorize those scriptures that we talked about that say, you know, to serve other people like Jesus did. Jesus was tired. He got tired. He needed to rest. But there came a time where he got back up and he said, I'm going to serve. And that's what he did. He washed their feet. He served them. And I also say to those who are listening, some of us are lonely because we've served so much that we're absolutely served out. Because the statistics show that 20% of the church does 100% of the work. And as a body of Christ, we all need to be using our purpose, our gifts. That's why we've got to know our purpose, because some of us are lonely and we're disconnecting because we're exhausted. And so if that's you, I encourage you to take that step back. And when we do, it's amazing how other people will often step in and do the job, but they weren't doing anything because you were there and you were filling it. And if God's calling you to pull back a little bit, don't be afraid to do that. He's not done with you, but he's allowing you to get some rest so that you don't stay in that lonely place, that you can get back up and you can be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Oh, amen. Great wisdom. Y'all want to pick up your own copy of Grace and Guts, Strategies for Living a Knockout Life. Well, in writing this, and with the 12 things, where did God pinpoint one of your weaknesses that says, you know what? I'm making this clear to you, Shannon. You need to get some grace and guts here.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. In every chapter, basically, where do you want me to start? One area that I was walking through at the time as I was writing it was betrayal, believe it or not. I had been betrayed by 3 certain individuals within a year's period. And what God showed me is I didn't use wisdom. That's what he showed me. I tend to think that everybody else thinks the way I do about things. And I tend to be very, just open and an open book, if you will. And that's good to a point, but I think there's wisdom that needs to come with that. And it wasn't some deep seated, seedy betrayal, but it was just something that they said, and that hurt me throughout the year. They didn't know each other necessarily, but it was just little things that they did that I thought, you know, Shannon, God, when things like that begin to happen, God's trying to get your attention, by the way. And he says, you know, you need to grow up in this area. And one of the things that I was trying to learn how to do is to guard my heart. That's a commandment that God tells us to guard our heart. And there is a very fine line in that. Because we don't want to it didn't say close yourself off. It said guard your heart. And so what I learned when I was writing it, and amazingly enough, that's the very first chapter of the book. And so what God showed me is we have to forgive those people who betray us, because we know that scripture says if we don't forgive others, that we won't be forgiven ourselves, and nobody's worth that. And so, but there's a hurt that comes with that. And there's a wall, if you will, that can go up. And I think especially in the church, I know when I first started doing ministry, and the first church I ever called, you know, once I realized what I was going to do, I called the first church and I was so excited and I was all just, whoa, this is going to be great. And the first church I called, the secretary sounded like she had been eating a bag of fleas. And I thought, man, I thought everybody was nice in church, you know? And so, I wanted to say, hi, I'm conducting a spiritual gifts inventory today. What's yours? Because it is not hospitality. I did not say that. She just wasn't very friendly. And so that was really the first time I learned, you can't throw a wall up when other Christians, I'm just going to go in this direction, when Christians hurt us, because I think we expect that from the world. The world doesn't know any better. But when we get into the body of Christ, they know better. And we know better. And, but we do it and it hurts, but it's because we live again in a sin fallen world. We live in a ring with other people and they hurt us sometimes. And Jesus experienced the ultimate betrayal when Judas, one of his own, one of his disciples that walked with him, that saw the miracles he did, that was with him, that promised he would never leave, that promised he would serve him. He betrayed Jesus. Jesus knew what betrayal was. But yet, what do we see him doing? He washes their feet. He knows what Judas did. So whenever I think, when I saw that, I thought, you know, Jesus was setting the ultimate example, because he knew people who promised to never leave sometimes leave. People who promise to keep their word sometimes don't keep their word. And what Jesus knew that I think I learned from writing that chapter, and what we need to learn, is people are people are people, and they don't, sometimes they just don't do what we want them to do. And we have to remember, sometimes we don't do what God wants us to do either. And because of that, we can forgive them. It doesn't mean that we have to even necessarily have a relationship with them. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, as Paul said, make peace with people as much as possible. There may be some people in our lives that that's not a healthy situation for us. And we have to ask God about that. But that was really the biggest lesson in the first chapter. I'm sure there were a lot more. But in the very first chapter where he said, hey, you know, you fail too. You blow it too. Let's not get on our high horse and act like, you know, we're all that in a bag of chips, because we're not. And we have to forgive them. Is it easy? No. Will we have to do it? That's why the Bible says 70 times 7, because he knew I forgive them and I feel okay. And then the next minute I'm mad again. I got to forgive them again. It's a process. And we have to ask the Lord just to keep removing that junk until we really do not only choose to forgive them, but we let it go and we turn them over to him.
What a great example. Not because it's your example, but it's a reminder, right? That every day we face this, and any of these 12 areas. And that's what I like about how your book is set up, that you can just go and go directly to the chapter. You don't have to read it from front to back. You can start at the very end. Wherever you need that, you can jump in and you give scripture throughout. Well, I know a lot of people are trying to still figure out what they want to be when they grow up. How can we find direction in our purpose?
Oh, that's good. That's my favorite topic to teach. I get passionate about it because I think that it's so exciting. I had a lady in Florida. I was teaching down there last year in Tallahassee, and which I'll be in Tallahassee coming up here pretty soon. Next weekend, I'll be doing a conference in Tallahassee at Emmanuel Baptist. And but she came up to me in Tallahassee and she said, Shannon, she said, I've been doing my job for 32 years. She said, but you just gave me the guts to do what I know God's been calling me to do, and I haven't been able to do it. And so I think sometimes we have to let go of the fear, first of all. We have to let go of the fear of the fact that if God continues to move us into a situation over and over again, we need to trust that he may be moving us out of what we're in now. And we like to be comfortable. I give the example in the book, I believe, that the day that God moved me out of my job as a counselor, when I walked into the office, I was dealing with two parents who had been murdered, and I had to go make sure that the kids were with CPS. That same day, I had to go and find a little girl that her dad had kidnapped her from the school with Donuts with Dads and took her off. And the mom is one of those that you do not want to call. And I had to call her. And then that same day, we had a guy enter the school with swinging a jump rope in our principal's face because he was mad his kid had accidentally got hit in the face with the jump rope the day before. And I had to evacuate the gym and call the police. And Christine, I worked in a nice school district, but it wasn't a nice day that day. And I went home that night and David said, David, we're sitting there eating. And he says, I had a bad day today. And I just looked at him and said, you had a bad day. Well, let me tell you about my day. And I told him, and he looked at me and he said, you're done. Just like that. Because he knew, he saw the demographics changing in our school. He saw some of the things that I had been dealing with through the year. But here's the catch. That summer, before I started that school year, I was brushing my teeth one morning. God can speak in the shower when you're brushing your teeth. And I literally felt inside I wasn't supposed to go back to school to the counseling job that next year. And I thought, I've got to buy some new toothpaste. That toothpaste made me have some crazy thoughts. I had a beautiful office. I love my work. I love my kids. I had a parking place. I was important. I didn't want to give that up. And so I went back, but I didn't have that same zip in my step. I didn't have that same excitement when I went back. And, you know, when we're not living under God's anointing, we can lose our zeal. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to go to work if they don't feel happy about their job and maybe quit by any means. But when we keep getting that same feeling over and over and over again of I really feel like I need to do something else, we need to make that a matter of prayer and see if God might be moving us into a new situation. The other thing that we need to remember is, like I said, the seeds. What seeds do you see in yourself? What has God put inside of you that you're good at doing? And if you don't know, ask the people around you. They will tell you what you're good at doing. And don't be afraid. Let go of the fear and don't be afraid to pursue that dream that keeps coming up in your heart over and over and over. That is oftentimes God. And that is oftentimes him moving into a place that you've never seen him move into before. And the reason I told my story about I didn't think I could be a speaker. I didn't think I could be a writer. I didn't think I could be an author because I went through that. And they literally dragged me to write that book, my first book, Grace in High Heels, kicking and screaming because I kept trying to tell them, I'm not an author. But somebody else saw it in me and said, you can do this. So surround yourself with people who will encourage you. Say, I've got this crazy idea. I feel like God's leading. I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know where the people are going to come from. But I want to tell you, if he has called you to it, he will provide everything you need. Christine, there was a time I was called to do a show in Chicago. And I got to, and they were going to charge me $500 to take the flight and to do the TV show. And I'm very frugal with the ministry's money, and I didn't really want to spend $500 to go and speak for free, right? I'm just being honest. But I really knew God was telling me to do it. And so I bought the ticket, and my mom was still alive at the time, and she traveled a lot with me. And she said, you want me to go with you? And I said, well, it's going to cost you $500. She said, that's fine. She bought her own ticket. We got on the plane. We're going to Chicago. She said, are you excited about doing the show today? Now, I would love to tell you I had a good attitude about that, but I didn't. And I said, I guess so. It's going to cost me $500 to take this trip. She said, yes, I know you've said that about three times since we've been on this plane. See, so we got there. And for some reason that day on the TV show, I talked about David's cancer more than I usually do. Right after David and I got married, he was diagnosed with cancer. And so we got through with the show. And she said, yeah, you did a great job. I've never heard you talk about David's cancer that much. But I said, no, I guess somebody needed to hear that. I said, well, anyway, we got back to the airport. And it's at O'Hare. And it's in summertime. And it is hot. And I am tired. And it cost me $500 to take this trip. I'm ready to go home. Well, they delayed our flight. And we were flying that, you know, we were flying Southwest. So we're, you know, lined up like cattle. And here comes this little lady. And said, taps my mom on the shoulder. And she said, excuse me, I was in line before you were, and I'm getting on that plane before you do. And so she went, and I, you know, we both let her go in. Well, we got on the plane at row three of the aircraft. She and her husband started arguing. She wanted to sit down. He wanted to go to the back. Well, I couldn't hold my tongue anymore. I teach on lacing up the tongue, by the way. And I said, well, let's not make a career out of it, either sit down or move on. So they went to the back of the plane, and I pulled my mama in, and there was a man sitting next to the window. And I felt like God said to me, ask that man what he's doing on the plane today. And I thought, that cannot be God. I am tired. And so I put my head back, and I felt it again. So I just asked the man, so what brings you on the plane today, business or pleasure? And he said, business. And I said, okay. And I put my head back. God said, that is not what I told you to ask him. And so I asked him, what brings you here? What are you here for? And big tears began to roll down his face. And he said, I just found out that my wife has been diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know what to do, and I don't have anybody to talk to. Well, I knew why I was on that plane that day. So I began to minister to him and pray with him, gave him some of my CDs to give to his wife. And girl, he was started crying, and he threw his arms around me, and he said, you're my angel. God sent you here. And I went to say, honey, you should have seen you almost sat here, but I didn't say that out loud. And of course, my mama wears the false eyelashes, you know, so her false eyelashes are going all over her face, and we're all crying on row 3 of the aircraft. Well, it got to that lull in the plane where we weren't really saying much, and all of a sudden he took out his wallet. Now, I have not said a thing to this man about how it cost me $500 to take this trip. And he said, what you don't know is I had people praying for me back home that God would send someone to minister to me today. And he said, and I don't know what this means, but I feel like God wants you to have this. And he counted out $100, $200, $300, $400, $500, and he put it in my hand. Well, then I started crying. We're all crying over 3 of the aircraft, right? But I tell that story to say this. It may not always make sense. See, it didn't make sense to me. Why do I have to go and do a show for free and spend my $500? But God already knew what I was going to need. He already had the supply ready. And so even if our purpose isn't making sense to us, we can trust him. When we start walking in a certain direction, if he's directing us, he's already got the provision made. And even if we miss him, you know, he'll find us. I tried to cook for the sick people of the church. They were worse off when I left. Cooking was not my thing. But I quickly realized, okay, that's not it. And I moved on to the next thing. God has exactly what we need. He has all the provision we need. We just have to start walking and saying, you know what? I'm praying. This is what I believe in it. I believe I need to be doing. And I just start moving in some direction. If you feel like he's calling you into a new season of your life, because our seasons change and it can be the most exciting season ever. Just like mine has been. It's been wonderful.
Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Grace and Guts, Strategies for Living a Knockout Life. You're going to want her on your coffee table. I'm just saying. Every day, just pick her up. Shannon, where should I go through? You know, what do I need? Which Bible verse? I love it. Well, for the person who feels like she's been knocked out and has just no more grace and guts, what would you tell her and how would you encourage her?
Well, first of all, I would tell her that that's okay. Because I think a lot of times we feel like I'm just done. And sometimes we're just done. And that's okay. You may be feeling like you cannot get back up. First of all, I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus is a big enough deal to get you back up. It's a matter of putting your trust and your faith in him and doing just like what I did that night and crying out to him. And if the only word you can say is Jesus, he comes. He comes when you call on his name and he will get you back up. He got me back up. It wasn't fast. It wasn't some instantaneous experience. It wasn't some miracle he blasted on me. It was a step-by-step-by-step process, and he strengthened me with every step, and he'll do the same thing for you. So if all you can say is Jesus, that's all you need to say, because that's the most powerful name that you can call on. And so I encourage you to do that, because he does. Jeremiah 29:11 is his truth to you. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to bring you a future and a hope. And there's not anybody that can take that away. There's not anybody that can stop that. Because that's his promise to you.
Amen. Well, I know you've got some new stuff happening with a conference and also your TV show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I have. Well, first of all, the conference, like you mentioned, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. We are doing a new conference for Grace and Guts. That we're doing the 12 topics. I've written new songs for the topics. And each of the topics are an hour long. And so anybody who is doing a women's conference, doing a retreat, just needs me to come in and speak for an hour for a luncheon or for a dinner, they can choose any one of the 12 topics. They can choose if they're going to need four topics. They don't have to hear one to hear the other one. So they can choose any of the topics from Grace and Guts based on their audience. And I sing and speak with each topic. And we have not done a conference yet that somebody didn't give their life to Jesus. It's been amazing. We have literally had altars filled with women just this weekend. On the very first session I did, I felt like I needed to open the altar up. And I mean, it was flooded with women just surrendering to him after I talked about people pleasing. And so God's just doing incredible things. So if any of your viewers are looking for a speaker or for an event, we have materials, we have posters, we will help you advertise. Just they can contact me at shannonperry.com and email me at info@shannonperry.com. And we would love to bring what God's doing through this conference to them. We do also have a new TV show. I've been doing TV for a while now. It's called Grace in High Heels. But God gave me a vision for this show a long time ago. And I didn't get to do that at first. You know, the powers that be wanted to air my teaching and things like that, which is wonderful. But I always wanted to have, I love Hallmark. I just got to tell you, Christine, I love how everything just ends great. You know, my publicist always tells me I live in Kitten and Rainbow World. Well, you know, I would like to live in that world sometimes. I don't live there, but boy, there's days I'd like to live there. And you know, when you flip that channel on and you see everything just works out, it's just a great place to live sometimes. And so, but I always wanted to have like a Hallmark Home and Family kind of show where it was Christian, it was Christ-based, to where people who wouldn't normally watch a Christian network would be flipping through the channels and they would see us cooking. Lord help them. I was cooking on the show, by the way. So they would see us cooking. They would see us working out. The workout guy that's in my show, he's on the front of Muscle and Fitness. He's an actor and a model. I mean, you want to do good when he's working out with you. It's just amazing. And, you know, we are doing self-defense. We're doing decorating segments. And we're doing things where women call in with questions and I answer them and we laugh. I have amazing guests on the show. I just had Darren Mulligan from We Are Messengers on there. And we've got incredible guests and we're starting to air brand new shows coming up in 2 weeks. That's another secret we haven't publicly announced. The NRB conference happens in Nashville every year. So I wanted to air those conference that show before we went as we went to the conference. But here's the catch. We're not even giving them to the real networks yet, to the major networks. We're going to put them on YouTube first so that our YouTube followers can be the first to see the show. And so if they want to see that, you can go to Grace in High Heels TV show with Shannon Perry. And they have to click subscribe. And once they subscribe, then they can be the first to see the new shows. And we're going to air it in 2 weeks. So that's exciting. Thanks for letting me share that.
That is exciting. Well, we'll have all that information in the show notes so people can click on it if they want to contact you for having you come for conferences. Or maybe they want to find you. You're going to be close by somewhere where they will be. They may want to come and see you live and in person. And then obviously also your Grace in Heels TV show. Whew, you have got a lot. Maybe we should go back to the original question. Do you ever run out of things to say?
Yes, when I'm sleeping.
I love it.
That would be my husband's answer. So I'll go with that one.
Go with that one. That's a safe answer.
That's a safe, yeah.
Well, we could spend all day together. I just know we can. So we'll have to have you back. But before I let you go, I have one last question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Wow, that's such a great question. My story has gifted me exactly what you said, is strength. I am not the same person I was probably 20 years ago. If I had not been through some of the things that I have been through, I would still be that insecure, worried, concerned, controlling, you name it, person. And because of my story and the things that I've learned to go through and trust God with, I have learned, you know what? I don't have to control it. I don't have to manipulate the outcome. I don't have to weave things where they'll work together for me. God makes all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I love him and I'm called according to his purpose because I'm doing my best to serve in my purpose. And so I've learned to trust him that all that other stuff just works together.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I cannot wait for you and I to meet one of these days. Grace and guts and all in high heels. I love your heart, Shannon, and you are welcome back anytime.
I love being with you. You are precious, and I can't wait to be back with you again. Thank you so much for having me on.
Many blessings.
You too.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.